Amen. Amen. What a blessing it is to be here this morning and to see everyone. Good to see this good number. And just so thankful that you're all here. It's good to see my Uncle Danny here. Glad he's here with us this morning. Anybody else that may be visiting, I'm thankful you're here this morning. And just make yourself at home. And I pray and ask that the Holy Spirit will do that for you. We're glad that you're here. Anybody that has VBS questions, please see Sister Marilyn, Sister Karen, after the service today, because it's here, or next week or two anyway, because it's here. So it's upon us, just like Brother Tim was saying, and plan to have a special prayer next Sunday after the service for our VBS folks and everything. I think that's important. It's a beautiful thing to take part in. It's a lot of work, but it's a needful work, and I'm thankful for those who take part in that. If you will, let's be turning to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10, down toward the end of the book there. I'm going to look at verses 46 through 52. And I don't know, maybe I have preached from these verses before, but if I have, I don't really remember right off. So I know there's a lot of common scripture in the Bible, a lot of common scripture I haven't preached out of yet, so I enjoy reading through and finding these and just meditating on it. Sometimes it's the simple things that really grasp our heart and show us things out of God's Word. It don't take much to confound our minds. I thank God when He makes things simple for us, but I think it's important for us to slow down and try to take it in also. You got a situation here of a person who had an ailment and he was looking for a cure. You see that a lot in the Bible. You see that a lot in the Gospels. You see how the Lord was moving there, and you've got something going on here with a person who can't see. He doesn't have any vision. Now, I don't recall if he had sight and then lost it, or if he never had sight at all. But it's talking about Bartimaeus, and you see in the different Gospels, you actually see here in Mark, it's kind of interesting. In the book of Mark, it talks about Bartimaeus himself. If you look at Luke and Matthew, it talks about two. There's two of them, so somebody there with Bartimaeus. So you can surmise why Mark wrote it. This is how Mark saw it, and he actually called him by name here. So I thought that was interesting. So I kind of wanted to look at it from that perspective. But you know, for me, I'm very much an audio visual type person. I learn well from both of those. When I was in school, that's one of the things that they talked about a lot. They'll say, "Are you a visual learner or an audible learner?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm both. I need you to tell me, and I need to see it, and I'll probably need to hear it and see it a couple more times." That's just how I am. I think maybe a lot of people might be that way. Some people might do good by being able to hear something and maybe lock that in their mind. Some people are good at maybe being what you'd call have a photographic memory, be able to see something and recount that. I don't really have that. I take a lot of notes, I write things down, and I like to hear it, I like to see it, and I like to hear it and see it some more to try to get it to really stick with me. But you're going to see an account here that's a little bit different. It takes sight out of it. The Bible does teach, and Jesus talked to the Pharisees. We read this in Sunday school this morning, that it was a deceitful generation that sought after a sign. Many times we want to see something before we believe it. I told the Sunday school this morning also something for us to really consider. You can't walk by faith and by sight at the same time. Now think about it. You're either walking one or the other. You're either walking by faith, something that you haven't seen, or you're walking by sight, something that you have seen. And the Bible teaches us that one day our faith will end in sight. All those question marks we might have in our minds and in our hearts about some things, I think the very instant that we see Jesus, I think all those question marks are going to go away. Because it's no more by faith, it's by sight. You're looking at it. And you think about, this is the one who did all that for me. He went to the cross for me. But I want us to do an exercise this morning, because it's easy sometimes to think about things. And I don't know if you've ever tried this. I know sometimes as a kid, I've done this before, even tried it, just kind of thinking, and maybe I've done something like this here before, but I thought it'd be good for us this morning. But if you just close your eyes with me for just a minute, close your eyes with me, and And just I want to kind of walk you through something, and we'll keep it simple so that way it's something that each of us had probably done many, many times. But if you close your eyes and I ask you, drive yourself home just in your memory. Now, Brother James and Sister Julie, some of you, it's going to be pretty easy. Sister Karen, some of you, it's going to be pretty easy. You think, well, I go to the parking lot here, I take a left, go a little bit, and I take a right. Brother James, go a little bit more and you take a right. That's kind of how that would be, but okay, you see that in your mind that way. Can you see that? Are you traveling back home in your mind with your eyes closed? You're not seeing anything, but you're just recalling what you've seen in your memory because you have seen it before. So you recount that. You can recount that in your mind. Now I want to ask you this. Does anybody here feel comfortable enough actually doing that? Who would get in your car and do that right now with your eyes closed, not being able to see? Anybody here want to do that? Do it after I leave. I don't want to see it. I don't take no part in that. I thought about that this morning. I was thinking, you know, in my mind, I can recount things. I can see things that I've seen before. And I can say, yes, you know, you've got to go this way, and you've got to, I can kind of go from my parking spot, backing up, making sure I don't hit cars in the front row and come around. But here's the thing, I don't know exactly how far I have to go before I'm going to hit the road. I'll probably hit the ditch. I'll probably be out here in the grass before I get that far, or right here off to the side, trying to recount it in my mind how to get there. Now, I tell you this. I don't know of a place that I could send you that none of you have been to. But if I ask you to close your eyes and I tell you, I'm going to send you here. I want you to go to France. I don't know, maybe some of you have been to France, but I don't think anybody in your mind could get there. Let's do that. Let's say now close your eyes and make it to France. I couldn't begin to start. I've never been there. I've never been there. I don't know. I rely heavily on GPS. When people give me audible directions, I'm hearing what they're saying, but it's going by pretty quick. It's kind of just leaving me pretty quick. I'm thinking, okay, I'll listen to them give me their account, and then I'll go and look it up on GPS so I can actually have that turn-by-turn GPS guidance, and I love that. I have people that ride with me sometimes think mom or maybe different people in the family and say, man, Jason, you're good at driving. I said, it's not me. I'm relying heavily on what that GPS is telling me because a lot of these places I haven't been before. Very rarely do I go by memory, maybe around town. I don't keep up with traffic signs and things like that here, maybe around town a little bit, but once I get out of town, I'm not relying on memory. I'm relying on what I can see. What I hear the GPS telling me. And so when I say that about going to France, here's the thing. You know, when you're talking about going somewhere that you've never been before, you have to rely on somebody else. And guess what? That takes faith. That takes trusting. And that's what I want us to see this morning. The title of the message this morning is, Can You See? Can You See? And we're looking at this account, Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. Probably heard it, but I think it's good for us to refresh our minds with this, and we'll pray, and we'll get to the message this morning. And this is the Pharisees, and also those who were following, the disciples, those who were following along with the Lord. That's how this was taking place through the gospel. So there's multiple people watching and present because they wanted to see what was going to happen next. A lot of people were there to see. Think about that, to see what was going to happen next. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat at the highway side begging. And when he'd heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much, God, for your word. Lord, for the guidance that comes from that, God, I'm so thankful. Lord, that you have a roadmap for us, that you've laid things out before us, God, that you've got paths for each of us to follow, God, that you've laid out for us in our lives. And Lord, I just thank you so much for that, that we're just not left to be wandering and try to figure things out, God, but you will guide us if we're willing to follow, if we're willing to submit and to listen and to study your word to see what that path is. God, I pray for each heart that's here this morning, each tribe, each thing that each person is going through, God, that is laying heavy on their heart. God, I thank you for the many blessings, God, that you've given to our church. This card this morning, God, we just thank you so much for that. Lord, just how you're blessing in so many different ways, God. And I would just be not doing right, God, not to praise your name first and foremost, God, for all that you're doing. Lord, the souls that have been saved throughout this time recently, God, in the last few years, God, we just thank you so much for that, Lord. Just how you're moving and what you're doing. And God, we pray for Bible school coming up. God, I pray for each one taking part. God, I pray that for strength, God, for encouragement. And Lord, give us the right words to say to teach these young people, God, be a blessing to them. Be the light that you've called us to be. God, I pray, Lord, for this service. I pray for each heart, those that are lost. God, I pray that you help them see their need of salvation. God, give that to them, Lord. By faith, God, I pray that you just move here today amongst us, God, and help us, Lord. Keep a hedge around our church, God, keep us safe, and I thank you so much for all who are here with us here today, God. I just pray your blessings be upon them and help us, God, in this service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So we see an interesting situation here, but it's kind of similar as they would go from one place to another. And you see here that they came to Jericho, and then they went out of Jericho. So it sounds like a quick trip, maybe as they were going through, going up through to Jerusalem. You know, him going up there. This was soon coming that Jesus was going to the cross. He was preaching and teaching his entire ministry all the way up to the end, so people could come to know. He didn't waste time. That's one thing you'll find about our Lord. He was always about the Father's business. He was always, wherever he went, he was always about his Father's business. And as they come to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat at the wayside begging. And I think about this a lot here. Think about this verse, but because, you know, we see that from time to time here locally. I think you see people, maybe not necessarily blind, but see people on the side of the road, and you know, I'm always thinking, Lord, what would really help this person? You know, I'm not against helping folks on the side of the road and what have you, but I think it's important too that once a person gets help, they get the right help from God, then they can move forward. I believe that's how God does things, and I see this here. You'll see this as an example of that, but I think about that, and I don't want to ever have a callous heart about things, and I know every situation is different, and I understand that, but this is the situation that we see here this morning. This man is blind. I don't know at this point in time what kind of work he could do or anything like that, if he could do anything. I'm inclined to think maybe that he couldn't at this point in time, and so that is why he is begging and he is asking. But if you look back, I want to share this with you real quick, verse number 45. That's before our text that we're reading here today, but verse number 45 is the actual key verse to the whole book of the book of Mark. It talks a lot about service. And so when you think about what we do as Christians and things, I know we like to think about rewards in heaven and things like that, and thank God that he allows us to be able to win those things, win those crowns. But this is the most important thing for us to think about as Christians in this day and time. Verse 45. It said, For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So when you think about the Lord Jesus, his goal in life was to help people. That's what he came here to do, to minister. That means to attend and serve, to give things to the needful. That's what he was here to do, and that's exactly what he did. That was the important thing. You think about the importance of life and how short life is, the temporal things that Brother Tim was talking about, that is short-lived. But what we do for the Lord is eternal. And our mind should always be set upon that. And I think that blind Bartimaeus is forever grateful that the Lord did this for him. So as you see him coming by, he's begging for his sight, or he's begging. And you get to verse number 47. And it said, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, something to think about here, about this situation, is Bartimaeus had never seen the Lord. He didn't see any of these miracles. All these other people were following after and following and going through because of what they had seen. Some maybe because of what they had heard, but the reason they were following it is because following him is because they wanted to see what he was going to do next. You know, it's exciting to come to church that way too, to have some excitement and expectation that you're excited to see what the Lord is going to do next. I like that. That gives me hope. That gives me excitement. That's enjoyable for me. But I think that's interesting here because he had seen nothing. Bartimaeus had not seen anything. You know, what he was relying on completely was what he had heard. It wasn't by sight. You know, at this point in time, Bartimaeus, he wasn't even walking by sight. What was he walking by? By what he had heard. You think about the importance of the Word of God and how powerful it is. If we're not careful, we kind of go right by it. We have it. It's there. Thank God that it's there. But I don't know how much we focus on it as it sits and as it is. We'll read something, and then if we're not careful, the first thing that we're asking for is, God, let me see something that will guide me to the next place you want me to be. Let me see something. Let me see something. Are you in a position in your life right now that maybe you've got some decisions to make? You got choices? You got options? Some of the most unique situations I've been in my life is when the Lord took the options out of it and he just made the path, and this is really just the only path. And I'll be honest with you, I thank God for those times. It takes the human error part out of it when he just says, this is the path. There's nowhere else for you to go. You take this path. But you and I will find ourselves at times in our lives we got decisions to make. You think about marriage, purchases of homes and things like that, careers and places to live. If you're moving away or staying here, there's a lot of things that if I this or if I that, and you can have pros and cons about those things. But you see, what you find out here is that you see with blind Bartimaeus, he only had what he had heard. So I say that to say this. I want you to know the importance of getting in God's Word and studying really is. I'm talking about every aspect of your life. Everything. God puts these nuggets in there that when you're reading and you're studying, they'll jump off at the page at you if you're not careful. That's His way of talking with you. That's His way of telling you what to do. And we miss it sometimes. Say, Lord, if you just show me. I'm guilty of that. Lord, if you just show me, then I would do it because then I could see it. Well, it's an evil generation that asked for a sign. He's saying, just trust what I've already told you. Just trust what I've already said. If you look at Romans chapter number 10, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, books in the whole Bible that the Lord has really used in my life, Romans 10, 17, it says, so then faith cometh by seeing. Wait. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing what other people have to say to you. Is that what it says? What's the first thing you do, young people? What's the first thing you do sometimes? Well, that's a loaded question. I was going to say you're going to go ask mom and dad what you should do. That might not be. You go ask your friends. Hey, friends, what do you think I should do? Right? That might be good advice, and it might not be good advice. You got the human element there. And I tell you, with the human element, we miss it so many times because the heart wants what the heart wants. You try to slant things that direction. I kind of want this. I'm going to slant all the pros on this side of things. But the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can trust it? So I wouldn't recommend that. I wouldn't recommend following your heart. If you can't follow your heart, you can't follow your friends. Mom and dad love you. They'll tell you the best they can. But I tell you, there's something even better than that. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what I hear from this, what I'm hearing from this, is if I read something in God's Word and I hear it preached, I hear it taught, and I know it to be true because God proclaimed it to be true, then that should be enough. That should be enough. Lord, I hear in your Word what you're saying, but can you show me? That's not how that works. We have an idea that seeing is believing. And I tell you, that's when you really mess up with things. We as Christians mess up. When we mess up on the big things. You know, I believe there's times, I'm going to say this, I believe there's times in our life that God has something right here for us. And it's not about seeing. He said, it's here. But by faith, you got to get there, not by sight. You got to get there. If you want it, it's here, but you're going to have to trust me to get there to have it, not by sight. Sometimes I think we're wasting our prayers, wasting our breath on Lord, show me a sign. Very rarely, if ever, in the Bible has that ever worked out. The Lord has already given the signs. Just as the prophet Jonah said, to be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth. But see, people wanted to see a sign. They wanted another sign. He's saying, just trust what I've already told you. So when I hear about this, it's kind of interesting because what you have is, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He heard who was coming through. And he put importance on who that was. He didn't just say, Jesus, have mercy on me. He was proclaiming who he was. He's calling him the son of David. If you look back in the book of Matthew and you look back through the genealogy that is giving of a king, that means Jesus Christ is the next heir to the throne. He knew who Jesus was. So that's powerful. That's who we're praying to. See, it's not just an empty request or something, and it's not just an empty statement made by somebody. This is Jesus himself instructing us. That's what makes it so real, what makes it so important. So when he heard who it was, he'd never seen any of the miracles. When he heard who it was, he got excited. But what drew the excitement? If he hadn't seen the Lord do anything, why was he so excited? Think about that. A lot of times what we get excited about is when we've seen, heard the Lord doing something. If the Lord's done something in our life, we get excited about that. What's the first thing that we should do when the Lord does something for us in our lives? Number one, thank Him. Always. That's how our prayers should start out, by thanking Him. Number two, tell somebody. Tell somebody. You know, that's how the Lord works through us today, how He works through our lives. It's very similar to what He did here. There was a lot that was going on. If you look at this next verse, I think it's very interesting how it comes here. But if you look back, I'll read 47 again. And then we'll go to 48. It says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, I'll say this right here before I even move on. Let's remember his condition. He couldn't see. So he could hear things that were going on, but how hard would it be for him to get to the Lord? I mean, he could kind of stumble around and get knocked around through the crowd or whatever. His best hope, what he found to be the best thing for him to do was just cry out for the Lord to hear. Listen, he just started screaming for the Lord. That's what he started doing. I tell you, that's the best thing you and I can do today. When a child gets in trouble, start calling for mom and dad. Start yelling for help. Help's on the way. But you see, he was kind of stuck where he was at. He was immobile, not being able to see how to get there. So he just started screaming, hoping that the Lord would come to him.
Well, that's a blessing. Think about that. Think about when you're crying out in prayers and desperation. You got things on life. Just start screaming where you're at. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. There's nothing wrong with that. But now, look what happens in verse number 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Bartimaeus, be quiet. Don't you? This is Jesus that's here. Look at all these people he's trying to help and all he's trying to do. Bartimaeus, you're looking kind of silly. Be quiet. I think sometimes that's where we, again, as people mess up, if it's pride or something like that, don't be afraid to cry out. The worst thing that you and I can do is sit in a mess and not ask God to help us get out of it, to sit in a problem and have somebody who can help us and not ask Him to get us out of that mess. And sometimes the biggest hindrance that we have aside from self are those who are around us. I wouldn't let anybody stop me from accepting the Lord today. I wouldn't let anybody or anything stop me from getting the help that I need today, whatever that is. You might be here today and you might be saved, but you need help, but I wouldn't let anything. Don't say, well, I'm not worthy to ask. Well, we're not worthy. I'm not worthy. Nobody's worthy. If it was based off of worthiness, none of us would get help. It's just out of His sure mercy and His sure grace. That's all it's about. The squeaky wheel gets the oil, by the way. Think about that. And they charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The more they tried to shut him up, the more he yelled, God help me. That's what we need to be asking today. That's what we need to be praying today. Think about things. How many of you are just completely satisfied with how everything's going? How about the whole world? Are you happy with how things are going in the world? You get a good report when you hear the news, you hear all the battles and wars, rumors of wars, everything's going on. You get a good report when you turn the news on. Do we get good reports sometimes when we go to the doctor? Do we get good reports around here? Well, what do we need to be doing? We need to be crying more loud, just like that. Amen. Holy Spirit knows how to work. Amen. Every one of you looked. Amen. Perfect timing. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's exactly what he did. And guess what? He caught Jesus' attention. Now, let's be honest. You think Jesus didn't know he was in the crowd? He knew. He knew. I think sometimes things happen in such a way that other people can learn from it. Other people can grow from it. Some other people can see it. Because had Jesus just went straight to him, it probably wouldn't have been in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, and Luke probably wouldn't have seen it. Think about that. It was him crying aloud. I don't know about the other person. I know if you see the other two Gospels, it talks about two. Mark talks about one. Maybe that's the one he heard. It's probably the one that caught his attention the most. That's why he broke down what he saw from his perspective. That's all you can do if you're being a true witness. Write down what you saw. That's what he saw. That's what he heard. And that's how it happened. But he cried the more aloud. I want to encourage us this morning by saying that if you feel like you're not getting heard, keep crying aloud and don't stop. If you really need help as much as you think you do, don't stop crying. You think about it, if it's a lost person you're praying for, if it's a need in your life, if it's you this morning and you're lost, ask the Lord to save you. Keep crying aloud. Because look what happened. Look what happened. Verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Isn't that something? Jesus heard that. I mean, I think everybody in attendance saw this. Jesus was going through. The commotion was going on. That's how Bartimaeus heard about it. He heard the commotion. That's how he knew who was there. He had heard all the great things he was doing. He knew he had a need. He's thinking, maybe he can help me too. I think sometimes we don't make enough commotion about what the Lord is doing for us. Not that we're worthy. We can't pretend or anything like that to think that, hey, we're trying to draw attention to ourselves. We're none worthy of that. It's all what He does for us. And the more unworthy that we feel and are, the more we should praise Him for what He's doing. Don't let it give us the big head or anything like that. It's just because, again, of His sure mercies and because of His goodness. But he cried more aloud. He made a great big deal out of it. And Jesus stood still. And I think everybody stopped with him. Why are we stopping? There's a general flow. A general flow to preaching. I'll say it like that. I've done this before. It's a general flow to preaching.
People get used to hearing the voice come from one place. Brother David, Brother Norman, you hear it up there, you know what to expect. What's funny, though, is when you start hearing the voice in different places, everybody stops and starts looking. Brother David draws attention.
You know, I think that's what happened. When Jesus stood still, I think it grabbed everybody's attention. Why are we stopping? Some maybe had heard, but Jesus heard it. He went by and he stopped. I think caught the crowd's attention. I think they knew something was about to happen, so everybody stopped and started to watch to see what he was going to do. But Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. Now what is interesting about this, what was holding this man back was the fact he couldn't see and how to get there. He could hear. And he tried the best he could as he felt and heard that Jesus was getting closer. He tried to yell, but he still couldn't see how to get there. Jesus stood still. What's interesting is when you read this, it said here, it looked like other people were the ones that were bringing him to the Lord. They say, hey, be happy. Guess what? He heard you. And he wants to help you. He's telling me to bring you to him. There's a lot of good, plain, easy doctrine in here. You know somebody out there, we'll say it like that, somebody out there that needs help, bring them to the help. Jesus will stand still and he'll listen. He commanded him to be called. So go get him. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Well, I tell you what, now you look at this right here. You think about a beautiful example of how an invitation should be for a lost person, for a saved person, whatever it is that you're facing in your life, if you need something from the Lord. I love how this is written here. And he arose, casting away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. He didn't let anything hold him back. Not even what he was wearing. And that's something. Maybe it was big, maybe it was heavy. Think about somebody maybe that lived outside. If he was homeless, he was begging, probably lived outside. Maybe had a lot of heavy clothes on. Maybe it was wet. Maybe it was dirty from where he was at and his circumstances. But he didn't let that stop him. He didn't let anybody, he didn't let his own appearance, he didn't let his own clothing, he didn't let anything stop him from getting to the one he thought who could help him. I think it's important that we realize that this morning and not waste another opportunity, not let another opportunity pass. But he arose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? How would you answer that question this morning? Honestly, what do you need from the Lord this morning? This isn't just for that lost person. It's for everybody here, myself included this morning. What do you need from the Lord? If you knew he's seated at the right hand of the Father, had his hand reached out to you, and he was asking you this morning, what should I do for you? What would you tell him? What would you tell him? And then my next question is, why? Why are you not asking? Are you asking? You know, I don't believe in working on emotions. I don't believe, again, working on sight. I don't know how the Lord is working in your heart, what he's doing in your heart. But I'm telling you, if we have a burden like sometimes we say we do, I just want to say this. Our altar should be full just about every single week. Amen. I believe that. I don't say that to try to get movement, but if there's an inward thing, what the Bible's talking about here, that inward thing should show on the outside sometimes. How burdened are we really? Are we living in such a fast-paced life we're just kind of used to just taking what comes? And then whatever happens, whatever comes, and then it's just like, well, it was the Lord's will. Did you ask him? Did you ask him? If it means so much to you, that you are burdened about it every single day, are you really asking him? Are you spending time to ask him? You think about it this morning. If you're lost, think about it this way. If that's something that's laying on your heart and your mind day after day, and you want to find some solace for that, you want to find a conclusion for that, have you asked Him to save you? If not, why? What's holding you back? He didn't let anything hold Him back. He knew what He needed. See, the Lord asked Him, what do you need? For Him, He wanted His sight. That was kind of obvious for Him. But this morning, what do you need? What's your need? Is it important enough to ask? Or is it something you're just going to kind of wait and see what happens? I tell you, our prayer lives, I don't know what it looks like sometimes. I've heard it said like this, we pray so generically, we wouldn't really even know if He answered the prayer or not. Lord, let Your will be done. And then we walk away. See, that's not the relationship God wants to have with you. He wants a personal relationship. You look at the price Jesus paid that we could have this relationship. This is the trial of faith side of life. This is the by faith side of life. This is the side of life that rewards are earned, rewards are lost. On our faithfulness, on how we respond to Him in His Word, and what we do. See, this right here can be a very exciting time for the Christian. Because you know, there's no, Brother Tony, there's no earning rewards in heaven. That's done. You know, that trial that you're going through right now, the Lord's saying, if you would just do it like this, I'm telling you, I'll open this thing up for you. Well, Lord, if You let me see, then I would, see, it don't work that way. That's not how He works. Again, it's by faith. But he got to the Lord. The Lord stood still. He cast away His coat. He was called to the Lord. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. That's what I'm asking for. Now, you have to know this. He had already, by faith, called Jesus out for who He was. He'd already extended faith. He wasn't asking somebody just to be asking somebody. He was taking this straight to Jesus Himself, acknowledging who Jesus is and the power that He has. Do we pray that way? Do we pray with that confidence? Or do we kind of, I've been guilty. In the back of my mind, Lord, I don't know if You're going to answer this or not. But I'll ask anyway to see what happens. I'll ask to see if you answer it, how you answer it. Or do we actually look at God and say, you know, I know that You're the creator of this earth. Jesus, I know that You went and died on the cross for me, that I can have a personal relationship with You. And You care about me. You care about me enough that You made it a possible for me to approach the throne of grace boldly and ask petitions. That's exciting to me. If we ask the Lord for something and need help in something with no real thought that He's going to answer, and I'll tell you, that's not the way to do it. I think if we approach Him with some excitement and some expectation, we could experience a different life with Him. And you look back, I think about this all the time, church. I think back in situations I go through daily trials, daily things we go through, and then I think about what it would be like one day to be standing before the Lord, and the Lord say, Jason, you remember that day when you was going through this, and you were thinking about it, and you didn't do this because you were lacking faith, you didn't trust me, you just did not know what I had for you. All you had to do was just believe it. That's what you're telling people to do. Why didn't you do it? That's what He's asking Bartimaeus to do. He asked him by faith. The response was so simple. He said, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, now look at this. I'm going to close with this. But look at this. If you want to know the mark of true repentance, a mark of a true salvation, a mark of true trusting, you'll find it right here. And I just about missed it. But this is where you'll find it. If the Lord ever gets a hold of you and saves you, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, when the Lord sets you free, that's how He does it. He sets you free.
That's right. Amen.
Brother Timmy set you free. Sometimes on campus, we were talking about this yesterday, or Friday. Sometimes I get called to do pest control items on campus. And Newland Hall, for whatever reason, it's notorious for getting birds. Notorious for that. And then they get stuck in the hallway, and they go from one way to the other. And me and my friends, we found if you have a blanket, you hold up high enough, and you walk to the end, get to the stairwell, you got a pretty good chance of getting it to the open window, and to get it going. Sometimes you have to hold it and let it go. We do that from time to time. But you know, when Jesus saved you, and if you've been saved, or when he saves you, this is exactly what he does. All that bondage, all that sin, everything that's been bound by you, he's holding you his hand, and you know what he does? He sets you free. You're free. That's what he said right here. He said to Bartimaeus, he said, go thy way. He didn't say, follow me. He said, go thy way. That's what he says. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He said, go thy way. You've been set free. Little bird, you've been set free. The bird flies off. That's exciting. Everybody loves to see that. I video. I like to share that. It's neat. You see, the difference in this, when it's a true conviction, when it's a true conversion, you'll see what happens right here. The Lord set him free. And immediately he received his sight. His problem was immediately fixed because he approached the Lord in faith. Simple. Probably hear that about every message in some form or fashion. You'll hear it, but that's how it works. Now look at this right here. And immediately received his sight and went on his way. That's not what it says, is it? Isn't that something? That's not how it happened. And immediately he received his sight. And then what does it say here? And he followed Jesus in the way. He stayed in the way with the Lord. He didn't leave the Lord. You see, this is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, Bartimaeus, he could see that now. He'd heard about it, but he got to see it firsthand. I asked you this morning, can you see? I think about messages all the time. I think about it in twofold ways probably every single week. I think about the lost person and what their need is, their primary, only really basic need is salvation. And then I think about the saved person that's facing a lot of similar things, and then it's the main ingredient that's missing on both accounts is faith to move forward with the Lord and to stay with Him. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask the Sister Alice to come. I was going to say, ladies, I know Sister Kathy's not with us this morning. Ask Sister Alice to come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we...